Well, good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own word, and we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to expound on the dispensation of grace. And we as dispensational believers believe that the fact that you study the word of God rightly divided. We're going to be singing number 39, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. We'll sing all three. Amen. Whew. Good morning once again. We are starting on a new lesson, study, and I hope you will be able to glean to it. Now, we've done this about 12, 13 years ago, only on audio. We never videotaped it, so this will be something that we're going to do for a little while. I know we mentioned the book of Acts. We will get to the book of Acts, but this right here, as we've been studying through Genesis, and it's been a prophecy mystery type of thing, I hope you understand that we study the Word of God rightly dividing. And a lot of people don't understand that. Do you know anybody that says they wrongly divide the Word of Truth? You know anybody admits that? But they'll point you at you, won't they? What are you talking about? You either wrongly divide, you either not divide at all, or you rightly divide the word of truth. And what this is going to do is show you contrast in the word of God. You know as well as I know, there's no contradiction in the word of God. Now, in the Bible version I use, the King James Bible, is the authorized version for the English-speaking people. There's no contradictions in it. Now, you might find contradictions in other versions because they leave out things and they change words and all that stuff. But what we're going to do, first thing you need to do is you need to look at the fact that salvation. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What do you know about salvation? 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. What's good and acceptable? Look at the next verse. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, how many men? All men. You know, the thing is that we need to know that what God's will is. If you want to know the heart of God, you got to get in God's Word. If you want to know God Himself, personal relationship, you have to know His Son, Jesus Christ, don't you? Everybody talks about God out there. My thought is, which God are you talking about? There's a lot of gods out there, and you know that. And it's been that way for a long, long time. So the first thing you need to do, who will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. What does chapter 4, verse 10 says? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of how many men? All men, especially of those that what? Now, all men can be saved, can't they? But what do you have to do? You have to believe. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But unto us which are saved, it is what? Okay. The preaching of the cross. That's foolishness, people say. What are you preaching that old cross? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing to understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? But hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? Has he? Yes. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? So you have to believe. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to hear the word of God to believe it. You have to know. What is Romans 3? Romans 3:21. But now is the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man's got a problem. How many men come short? Do you believe all means? What does all mean in the Greek? How about Hebrew? How about Spanish? All is all. And God's got a solution in the next verse, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's got a solution there. What is it? Redemption in who? And we got a responsibility. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past and through the forbearance. So we have to have faith in His what? We have to, right? So that's part of believing. So when you understand about that salvation and who you are, you're a lost person, you need to be saved. That's the first and foremost when we talk to people. Find out where they're at. Let them tell you. What do you trust to get to heaven? Well, I go to church. You probably know five or six things that goes through your mind. Well, I've been baptized. I go to this church. My mom said this. My mom said that. Uncle, whatever. Well, what is it? What should they be nailing? The preaching of the... What do you preach when you preach the cross? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is where you find the gospel of Christ. Moreover, brethren, moreover what he discussed in those last three or four chapters. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel that I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. So he preached it, you received it, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to stand in it. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Are they vain belief out there? Yes, very much so. Vain imaginations. Can ruin anything. You know that? That's what happened back there in the Tower of Babel. It's what God gave us up. For I delivered to you first of all that with that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? That's what saves people today. Nothing else. The next thing you do after you go through, you got to study. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. got a little saying here. We study this, the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And there's a reason for that. We study the whole Bible, for all scriptures are profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And my friends, that's truth against truth. It's nothing else. It ain't truth against error. It's truth against truth. And what do you got to do? You got to study. It don't come easy. Some people I know can look at, study this, no problem. Some people I know, it takes a lifetime. But you got to study. Why do you want to study? To be approved unto who? Your husband? Your wife? Your preacher. You better be approved to your preacher, or he's not going to approve you. No, to who? What does the verse say? To God. That's who you got to be approved by. Listen, there's going to be times when we're all going to die and stand in front of God Almighty, and you ain't going to say, well, Ed told me this. And he's going to look at you and say, what did my word say? Why do you want to do it? And how you do it? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's truth from truth. That's cover to cover. And when we think about rightly dividing the word of truth, we understand dispensational truths, circumcision against uncircumcision, prophecy, mystery. And that's what this contrast is going to be doing. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and get Proverbs chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by thee by prophecy and the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thou profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine there. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that what? You got to take heed to what God, Paul's saying. Take heed to what the Word of God say. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Starting with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Whoa, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when you study, you got to keep that in mind, what the world thinks about you. Listen, we're Bible students here. Everybody can have a Bible. They can pack Bibles. And you'll get accused of, you're thumping up your Bible thumper. You hit me with the Bible. Don't take offense to that. Okay? Just because you know who they're attacking. If they can't attack the message, they take a messenger. That's what happens after you're in it the battle on time. But to create the sound bites like what we were just talking about, to create teaching situations, every one of us is in a teaching situation. From the time you're born to the time you rise up, you don't know who's watching you. And many of us has kids or had kids. Now you got grandkids. They're watching you. And sometimes you just sit back and see how they're acting to what you taught them. Sometimes you have to go back to them and say, hey, don't forget about this. That's what moms are good for, by the way. Moms will tell the kids, no matter what age. Or dads sometimes lay back like, try to tell you, son. Try to tell you, daughter. But go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I've got to kick it in gear just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3. He tells us in verse 1, for this call I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of grace of God which is given me to you. There's that word dispensation. It's in your Bible four times. And he says, it was given to me to who? You word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which as in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets of the Scriptures, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me to work effectually, working of his power. Paul's the grace giver here. Who's the law giver? We're going to be going over a lot of this stuff. You know, just keep that in mind. And to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Apparently before, they've never been searchable. Well, I shouldn't say that, because the Gentiles could search God. They ain't a person on this earth can't search God. But these are unsearchable riches, something you never thought about before. Here's where you're going. And to make how many men see? All men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Period. Is that period there? Who created all things by Jesus Christ. The NIV don't have that. They take Jesus Christ out of picture. But think about this for a minute. To make the fellowship of the mystery. Sherry may remember years ago, her dad was part of Shriners, and they had a big parade downtown where we lived. We had a big umbrella. What did it say? Ephesians 3:9. Fellowship of the mystery. And that Shriner stopped, and I just had the mystery. He said, hey, that's good. And I turned it. I said, we're not supposed to keep secrets. We're supposed to he left. He didn't know what to do. You know, a lot of organizations, they're secret organizations, and they don't want you to have fellowship of the mystery. They don't want you to make known. They want to keep things hid. So the thing is, that's a teaching situation right there. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25, here we are again. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, that which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Hey, what do you think about fulfilling the word of God? Who did it say is going to fulfill the word of God? Does it say that?
Well, I mean, it says given to you.
to fulfill the word. Paul's writing is going to fulfill the word of God. When we find out the things written in prophecy and the things written in mystery, this is the capstone, what Paul does. Even the mystery which was hid, had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, what? Perfect in Christ Jesus. Warning, teaching. We're going to look at these things. We need to know that stuff. Not to be timid and hiding. You know, sometimes we get complacent, don't we? Sometimes we just go home and kick back in that easy chair and don't bother me. Meanwhile, the world's going by you, lost and dying and going to hell, and we don't care. We're in our house. And we got friends, places, new places that you go, and you're looking at them, you're like, what do you know about Jesus Christ? They can probably tell you about Jesus Christ, but do they have that personal relationship? So when you think about the divisions, you think about contrasts. Look at Luke chapter 12 right quick. Luke chapter 12. This is just going to set you some things up. And it's first part of the introduction. We're going to look at advantages and disadvantages, okay? And Luke chapter 12. Everybody wants to talk about Jesus Christ, about love, don't they? And you know, we was watching a commercial yesterday, and you know, a commercial Jesus, and they underline us, and they show a commercial, you be washing my feet, and then you go out there and wash other people's feet, and they're talking about that's what, you know, just, it don't matter, serving one another, okay? And that's what Jesus would do, serving them. They want to love. A lot of, for instance, is when you mention some things, they look at you like, how can you be a Christian and say that? You know, that type of thing. So what does he say right here? Well, verse 49. Many of you know, studying your word of God, you know why Jesus came to this earth, right? Because we was all good, and we just needed a friend in Jesus. We wanted him to serve good wine and make good bread, right? No. 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I have, how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? There's a question there. I tell you, nay, but rather what? Division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother against the mother-in-law, her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's a lot of people in that house, ain't they? But what's he doing? He's making a division there. The Lord on this earth was doing that. That don't seem like a good thing, does it? What did he tell the 12 to do? Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. How peaceful is that? Hey, Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going on in that system out there. That governmental system that he set up, and it wasn't good. But what did he do? What did he tell the 12? Verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So what did he tell them to do? Who was the Gentiles then? The uncircumcised, the unclean. So in time past, you're going to look at some advantages and disadvantages. Did the Gentile have the advantage then? You should know where I'm going right now. You still have your hand in Luke. Get Luke 13 and get Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me ask you something. Whoever told you that? In the churches that you used to. Whoever told you that when you was a young child learning about Jesus Christ and took you this path and say, listen, Gentile, you little Gentile boy, you know, this is the way you was. Now, they already knew I was heathen. They already knew I was lost. That's what this is. Maybe this is God's way of watering it down a little bit. That's not good. That's scary, dudes, saints. Luke what? 13. Luke 13 and Luke 19. Luke 13, verse 11. Verse 12 says, and he is teaching in the synagogues of the Sabbath. Now, who this he is Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Verse 6 says, he spake and also the parable, certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and it came and sought fruit thereof and found none. This is the parable of fig tree, right? But verse 10, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Why would he be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day? He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. He's teaching them out of what? The word. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmities 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. You're talking about pain. 18 years she couldn't get, straighten up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified who? Now, where's he at? Who would be in there? Look at verse 16. Let's look at 14 right quick, because the rulers get mad. And the rulers of the synagogues answered it with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which man ought to work, and them therefore come and heal and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? You ain't supposed to do nothing, but they're doing it. And all, not this woman being a what? Daughter of Abraham, who Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. Who is this lady?
She's a Jew.
A daughter of who? Who gets the blessings? Advantage or disadvantage? Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. Verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Is that right? Zacchaeus? Which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little statue. So he's a little man. Not shoe height size, but he was a little man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he had passed that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a what? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also as a son of who? Advantage or disadvantage? Where's the Lord going? Where did the Lord tell the 12 not to go? See, nobody's told me these things when I was young in my life. Even when we started going back to the Baptist church and going to Sunday school, getting involved, nobody pointed this stuff out. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. Here's a woman. Jesus went thence and departed for the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto her, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. So she looks to the Lord and says who? Called him Lord, son of David. Okay, so she's acknowledging who he is. But he answered her not a word. Does that not bother you guys? You're saying no, but why not? I mean, shouldn't the Lord did not answer her? That would upset me, thinking that all this time the Lord's, you know, came for everybody. And And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cry after us. So she goes to the Lord. He answers her not. She goes after the 12. But he answered and said, he's still not talking to this woman, by the way. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who's got the advantage here in the earthly minister of Jesus Christ? Israel does. But he don't answer her. Don't that bother you? You're still shaking. Well, you understand now. Many of you do, but we're teaching here. We want people realize what God is doing here. It would bother me if I sit there and not understand what my wife understands, that I don't understand, but I'm teaching it to understand. Just joking. You know where I'm going with this. Many of you know, You've been under the Word of God long enough to know what's going on here. But he answered her. So he says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's not giving up. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meek to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. So he does answer her. She's not giving up, but he answered her. What does he say? It's not meek to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. Why? There's not any separation. Who's supposed to be fed first? Israel's supposed to be fed before they could feed somebody else. Now, this is going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John here. It's Israel's first ministry. The Gentile could still be saved, but they had to go through Israel. But he says, it's not meek for me to take the bread and cast it to, what did he call her? That's not the dispensation of grace, D-O-G. That's a vicious dog out here. That's what they looked at you. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What does she just do? She put herself right under that kingdom program. Exactly what she's supposed to do. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Did she have advantage or disadvantage, that woman? A disadvantage. That's totally different from what we just read in Luke. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Stay in there in Matthew. Keep your finger there anyway. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I guess. John chapter 4, verse 22. He's at the well, right? And he departs to Galilee. And there's a woman, but whosoever drink, there's a woman. Verse 13, Jesus answered, well, let's see. She's at the well. Verse 9, then saith the woman Samaritan to him, how is that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What do you know about the Samaritans? Where are they at? Just they're in the northern area. And then Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is it that this saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She didn't know who he was. Jesus answered her, verse 13, said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then he said, goes on down there and talks about the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. She had five husbands. And then the woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. What has happened to this Israel's program back then? It was split. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the... Who's got advantage here? Matthew 20. While you turn to Matthew, go to Romans right quick. Romans chapter 9. Who's got the... Well, we're going to go over this anyway about the advantages of this. Well, go to Romans chapter 9 right quick. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of law and the services of God and promise? Who are the fathers and of whom are concerned in the flesh? Christ came, who is over all, and God bless them forever. Who's the advantage? Israel's got the advantage here. That's totally different over in Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 3, Romans 3:1. What advantage hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because of that unto them were committed the oracles of God. See that? That's an advantage in God's program. I told you to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his ransom, excuse me, to give his life a ransom for, you see that? Who's the many? It's Israel here. Chapter 26. Chapter 26. And verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That many is a little flock there. But you might be saying, I always say many of us is wearing glasses in here, but all of us is not. So Jacob, you out of the program, buddy. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, we read earlier, for this is good, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? To have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man. That man is who? Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many to be testified in due time. What is it? All. He gave his life for all. You don't get to all till you get to Paul. Just let you know. And it was in due time it was testified. Because he calls himself a due time testator. So in times past, back over where we're at, Lord's earthly ministry, it was not made known that he was going to die for all. Because that many had to be saved to get in that kingdom to so they can grow. But now, go to Romans chapter 10 right quick. Romans chapter 10. But now, we know what in times past how we were, right? But now, chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon Him. Chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are they better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Vantage or disadvantage now? Who's got the vantage? Nobody. There you go. Nobody's got the vantage. Verse 22. Read this earlier. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. How do you know there's no difference? The Bible tells us so. But you've got to understand the distinction and the division and why. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In the body. Verse 6. For when we were yet without Christ, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the what? Verse 8. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Who's got the advantage and disadvantage? But what did He do? Died for the ungodly. You know what you are now? A child of God. He died. We were sinners. You know what you are now? Saints. And we were enemies. You know what you are now? You're part of His program. You're in a battle now. So, thank God there's no advantage or disadvantage like there was in time past, because everybody's down here. And that's what we need to share with people, that, listen, you wasn't born saved. You know that, don't you? If you was, you wouldn't need a redeemer. And Christ came to this earth to redeem mankind because of the fallen nature we have. It's once said, anybody know who Miles Cloverdale is? This is a good quote. He was a bishop. In fact, some say he helped William Tyndale, or used William Tyndale. He did a Cloverdale Bible that was in succession of the Bible we have today. It's like the 1500s or something, okay? And he says, it shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, to what with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what follow after. That's a mouthful. But if you know all the Bible's what? For us, but not all of it's to you, it says exactly like that. All the Bible's for us. We can get profit out of it. But all of it's not to you. We just saw that, and advantage is disadvantage. But you got people out there, and people fall for that and take the whole Bible for themselves. We got a little saying, spiritualizing with spiritual eyes, and you're going to tell spiritual lies. You have to lie to yourself to make you a part of this over here.
He also wraps up in a nutshell, read the context.
Well, yeah. Context, context, context. We tell people all the time, if you don't understand that verse, read 3 or 4 verses above it and 3 or 4 verses below it. This Bible's made for us to understand the simple, the simplicity. I love the fact, one more time, that in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right quick. We're getting ready to close. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. You got people coming with you that knows how to hold their hands and say these and thous. And they know how to raise money. They know how to... The speech that they say to you, I'm going to listen to that man. He's educated. Meanwhile, you might not listen to an old, you know, gardener, truck driver, a upholsterer, a ranch hand, a carpenter. Who would listen to a carpenter? You know, you know what I'm saying? You get people like that. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of who? Don't stand out there in that wisdom of man. There's wisdom of man in the world, and there's still wisdom of man in God's Word. Howbeit we speak among you them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world known, for have they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. We're going to get involved in that because that's the mystery program that was not made known. And next lesson, we're going to start showing you some distinction between prophecy and mystery, okay? Prophecy and mystery. And we hope that each lesson we're going to get through the prophetic program and the mystery program. Amen? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.